لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. عن زينب بنت جحش رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت: أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل عليها يوما فزعا يقول: لا إله إلا الله، ويل للعرب من شر قد اقترب، فتح اليوم من ردم يأجوج ومأجوج مثل هذه، وحلق بأطبئيه الإبهام والتي تليها. My respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Many a time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would address the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een and inform the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een of the fitna, the turmoil that lay hidden in the womb of the future. Many a time he would talk to them about the minor and major signs of Qiyamah, so that they begin to fear Allah and prepare for the life hereafter, so that their iman and faith increases when they see these signs appear. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the whole day talking about the turmoil that was buried in the past and what lay hidden in the womb of the future. Abu Zayd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates: صلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الفجر وصعد المنبر فخطبنا حتى حضرت الظهر. The Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم led us in the morning prayer. After the prayer, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم climbed the minbar, the pulpit. He addressed us and kept on addressing us till it was time for the Zuhr prayer. فنزل فصلى ثم صعد المنبر فخطبنا حتى حضرت العصر. It was time for the Zuhr prayer. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam descended. He led us in the Zuhr prayer. Yet again, after the Zuhr prayer, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam climbed the minbar and addressed us and kept on addressing us till it was time for the Asr prayer. ثم نزل فصلى ثم صعد المنبر فخطبنا حتى غربت الشمس فأخبرنا بما كان وبما هو كائن فأعلمنا أحفظنا. He came down. He led us in the Asr prayer. Yet again after the Asr prayer, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give us permission to go back to our houses. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yet again climbed the minbar and addressed us and kept on addressing us till the sun set. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us of the turmoil and fitna that lay buried in the past and what lay hidden in the womb of the future. It is because of ahadith like this and many other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have agreed with Brother Abdullah to do a few talks, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, on the major signs of Qiyamah. Especially now that the majority of the minor signs have already appeared. Many people have claimed to be the Mahdi, the guided one. Let us begin today with Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the two tribes of Gog and Magog. As the iron wall they have been imprisoned behind has become weak, as is one of the meanings of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anha. Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anha says, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل عليه يوما فزعا يقول لا إله إلا الله ويل للعرب من شر قد اقترب فتح اليوم من ردم يأجوج ومأجوج مثل هذه وحلق بأصبعيه الإبهام والتي تليها. The رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم one day came to a very frightened. The words on his lips, لا إله إلا الله. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيْلُ لِلْأَرَبِ مِنْ شَرٍ قَدْ اقْتَرَبْ. Destruction is upon the Arabs on account of that evil which has come close to them. فُتِحَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ رَدْمِ يَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ مِثْلُ هَذِهِ. Today, a hole as big as this has opened in the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. To indicate the size of the hole, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a ring with his index finger and thumb and showed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. However, one cannot give a talk on the Ya'juj and Ma'juj without giving Dhulqarnayn a mention. As it was Dhulqarnayn who imprisoned the two tribes of Ya'juj and Ma'juj behind the iron wall, the iron gate he built. This is why I have decided to go over the tafsir, the commentary of the 11th ruku of Surah Al-Kahf, as it is in this ruku the story of Dhulqarnayn and the story of Ya'juj and Ma'juj has been related. Explaining those verses very briefly, which do not concern today's lesson. The Quran says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, they asked you about ذو القرنين. The Quraysh at the time of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Jews, asked رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم three questions to test him, to see whether he truly was the Prophet of Allah, whether he truly was the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he's able to answer these questions, then he truly is the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he is not able to answer these questions, then he is not the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first question they asked was regarding the Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave. The second question they asked, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّحْ, was regarding the soul. And the third question they asked was, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked you about ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ. These are the three questions they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to test and to see whether he truly was the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What concerns us today is that who is the Dhulqarnayn referred to in the Quran? As by learning who the Dhulqarnayn is referred to in the Quran, we will be able to determine the time and period of the story of Dhulqarnayn and Ya'juj and Ma'juj. There have been many people in history with the name Dhulqarnayn, and surprisingly, each was given the laqab, the title Iskandar Alexander. The last famous person called Iskandar Alexander was Sikandar Yunani, or known to you and I as Alexander the Great, a king who lived around 300 years before Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the one who built Alexandria. Now the Dhulqarnayn referred to in the Quran, the one whom, regarding the Jews question Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though there is a difference of opinion between the ulama in whether the Dhulqarnain referred to in the Quran was a prophet or not, one thing is for certain and is agreed upon, that the Dhulqarnain referred to in the Quran was a pious and just king. At the same time, the Dhulqarnain referred to in the Quran is not Alexander the Great, as is the opinion of many great masters like Ibn Hajr al-Asqalani rahmahullah and Ibn Kathir rahmahullah. The reason I have mentioned this is because some commentators of the Quran, some mufassireen like Abu Hayyan in Al-Bahr al-Muhit, Allama Alusi rahmahullah in Ruh al-Ma'ani, have mentioned that the Dhulqarnain referred to in the Quran is Alexander the Great, Iskandar Maktuni. They base their opinion on a hadith which is narrated by Uqbah ibn Amir and can be found in Tabari. كَأَنَّهُ كَانَ شَابًا مِنَ الرُّومِ وَأَنَّهُ بَنَى الْإِسْكَنْدَرِيَّةِ وَأَنَّهُ عَلَى بِهِ مَلَكٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَذَهَبَ بِهِ إِلَى السَّدْ إِلَى آخِرِ الْحَدِيثِ. They base their opinion on this hadith. However, the masters of hadith say that this hadith is da'if, this hadith is weak, thus this hadith cannot be taken. And the reality of the matter is, like Ibn Hajr al-Asqalani and Ibn Kathir rahimahullah have said, that the Dhulqarnain referred to in the Quran is not Alexander the Great due to three reasons. Firstly, the Dhulqarnain referred to in the Quran was a believer, was a Muslim, and his wazir was Sayyidina Khadir, while Alexander the Great was not a believer, he was a kafir, and his wazir was Aristophanes. So firstly, Dhulqarnain referred to in the Quran was a Muslim, while Alexander was a kafir. Secondly, Dhulqarnain was an Arab, and he has been mentioned a lot in their poetry, while Alexander the Great was not an Arab, he was from Yunnan, a Greek. Thirdly, Alexander lived 300 years before Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, while Dhulqarnain lived at the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam also prayed for him. It is narrated, أَنَّ ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ حَجَّ مَاشِيًا فَسَمِيَ بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ فَتَلَقَّهُ. Dhulqarnain, when he went for Hajj, he went walking. When Sayyidina Ibrahim a.s. heard that Dhulqarnain was coming for Hajj, Sayyidina Ibrahim a.s. went to greet Dhulqarnain. So we learn that the Dhulqarnain referred to in the Quran was not Alexander the Great, but a pious king that lived at the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. From this we can determine that the story that the Quran is relating of Dhulqarnain and Ya'juj and Ma'juj is a story of about the time of around Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Quran thereafter says, Inna makkanna lahu fil ardi wa ataynahu min kulli shay'in sababa. Dhulqarnain was a pious and just ruler. He travelled to many lands, establishing justice and the law of Allah therein. Inna makkanna lahu fil ard. Allah established him within the land and provided him with all forms of material strength through which he was able to carry out his conquest and missions. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah has said, كَأَنَّ جَمِيعَ مُلُوكِ الدُّنْيَا كُلِّهَا أَرْبَعَ مُؤْمِنَانَ وَكَافِرَانَ. There are only four people have ever ruled the entire world. Two were believers and two were non-believers. The non-believers, Nimrod and Bukhtinassar, and the two believers, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dhulqarnain, Iskandar. فأتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مغرب الشمس وجدها تغرب في عين حمئته ووجد عندها قوما. Once Dhulqarnain carried out a mission in three directions: the far west, the far east, and then in a northerly direction. He first traveled to the west, conquering the lands he passed through and establishing the law of Allah therein. He kept on traveling in the westerly direction till he reached the setting of the sun. He found that it set in a muddy spring, and nearby it he found a people which were not believers, as the following verse of the Quran indicates: قُلْنَا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِمَّا أَن تُعَذِّبَ وَإِمَّا أَن تَتَّخِذَ فِيهِمْ حُسْنًا. He was given a choice by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could either punish these people for their kufr, or either he could be lenient with them and give them da'wah and invite them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhulqarnain chose the latter, and he invited them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said to them, أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمْ فَصَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. That whoever does injustice on his soul, on himself, by rejecting the da'wah, by not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by denying the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَصَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ, then we will severely punish him in this world. We will punish him in this world by killing him. ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. Then he will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Creator will also severely punish him, and the fire of hell will be his abode. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَ وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا. As for him who accepts the da'wah and who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter does good deeds, فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَ, for him there is a good reward in the hereafter, the reward of Jannah, the reward of paradise. وَسَنَقُولَ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا, and we will also be lenient with him in this world. After his journey towards the far west, he prepared for his journey towards the east. ثُمَّ أَتْبَأَ سَبَبًا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ وَجَدَهَا تَطْلُؤُ أَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ لَمْ نَجَعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا كَذَلِكَ وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. His journey towards the far east was exactly like his journey towards the far west. He conquered the lands he passed through, establishing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therein. He traveled in the eastly direction, kept on traveling till he reached the rising of the sun. In this area of the east, he saw a nation receiving the sunshine without any obstruction. Perhaps these people were highly uncivilized and did not build houses or roofs just like some nomadic people do today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What concerns us today is that he dealt with those in the east exactly like he dealt those with the west. And after completing his journey to the east, he made preparations for his third journey. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ وَجَدَ مِنْ دُونِهِمَا قَوْمًا لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. He made preparations for his third journey. This third journey was apart from the east and west in some third direction. Generally, the commentators of the Quran, the Mufassireen, call it the northern journey. However, this is not clearly given in any verse of the Quran or any ahadith. There is an indication that this journey was in the north, in the northerly direction. He travelled and kept on travelling till he reached the midst of two mountains. It was here Dhulqarnain came across a tribe of people who complained to him about the two tribes, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Now these two mountains formed a barrier between the people and Ya'juj and Ma'juj. The Ya'juj and Ma'juj could not climb the two mountains. However, there was a gorge between the two mountains, and the Ya'juj and Ma'juj would come through this gorge, they would plunder the people, and then they would run away. Dhulqarnain was a stranger to these people. When they saw his extraordinary ways and means, when they observed his great pomp and power, they thought, this is the person who can save them from the great disaster which they often bore at the hands of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Thus they said to him, Ya Dhulqarnain, Inna Ya'juj wa Ma'juj mufsiduna fil ard, fahal naj'alu laka kharjan ala an taj'ala baynana wa baynahum sadda. O Dhulqarnain, Ya'juj and Ma'juj have been creating great corruption in our land for a long time. They plunder us, they steal our food, they commit bloodshed, and then they run away. Please, will you erect a barrier for our protection, and we will pay you well in the form of tax. This is the verse of the Quran in which Ya'juj and Ma'juj have been mentioned. Many questions arise in regards to the Ya'juj and Ma'juj which need to be answered, as there are many, many myths surrounding the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and many people seem to believe all sorts of extraordinary things regarding the Ya'juj and Ma'juj which are not proven from any verse of the Quran or any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many questions arise. Are they the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, like yourselves and I, or are they some third being, as many people seem to believe? If they are the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, like yourselves and I, is it true that they are only the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and not the children of Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, as some people seem to believe? What do they look like? When will they appear? What will they do when they appear? How powerful are they? Where are they now? What are they doing now? Do they exist now? Let us try to answer some of these questions very briefly in the light of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many people seem to believe that the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are some third being. They are not the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, like yourselves and I. Many people seem to believe this. However, this belief is completely wrong and baseless, as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam clearly indicate and clearly suggest that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, like yourselves and I, and from the progeny of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, كَأَنَّ يَعْجُوجَ وَمَعْجُوجَ مِنْ وُلْدِ آدَمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ لَوْ أُرْسِلُوا إِلَى النَّاسِ لَأَفْسَدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ مَعَايِشَهُمْ وَلَنْ يَمُوتَ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا تَرَكَ من ذريته ألفا فساعدا. The Ya'juj and Ma'juj are the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Not one will die from amongst them 3,000 upon to him in the hadith. والذي يدل على أنه من ذرية آدم عليه السلام ما رواه البخاري عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه. It is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله تعالى عنه that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يقول الله تعالى يا آدم فيقول لبيك وسعديك والخير في يديك فيقول أخرج بعث النار. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O Adam, take out the Jahannamese from your progeny. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam will ask, وَمَا بَعْثُ النَّارِ. O Allah, who are the Jahannamese from my progeny? Who are the people that will have to go into the fire of hell? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply, مِنْ كُلِّ أَلْفٍ تِسْءُمِئَةٍ وَتِسْءَةٍ وَتِسْءٍ. That from every 1,999 are Jahannamese. فعنده يشيب الصغير وتضأ كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. When the Sahaba رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين heard what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, overtaken by fear, they asked, يا رسول الله وأينا ذلك الواحد. O Messenger of Allah, who is that one lucky person from amongst us? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, seeing that the Sahaba had become very worried and were overtaken by fear, when he saw them very frightened, he consoled them and said, أَبْشِرُوا فَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلًا وَمِنْ يَعْجُوجُ مَعْجُوجًا أَلْفٌ وَصَحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْ مَجْمَعِينَ. Do not worry, as the 999 will be from the Ya'juj and Ma'juj. In another hadith also narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله تعالى عنه, he says, كَالْجِنُّ وَالْإِنْسُ عَشَرَةُ أَجْزَاءُ فَتِسْأَةُ أَجْزَاءُ يَعْجُوجُ وَمَعْجُوجُ وجزء سائر الناس. He says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided mankind into 10 parts. فَتِسْأَةُ أَجْزَاءُ يَعْجُوجُ وَمَعْجُوجُ. 9/10 of mankind constitute يَعْجُوجُ مَعْجُوجُ. وجزء سائر الناس. While the rest of mankind, 1/10 constitutes the rest of mankind. From these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the two ahadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala an, and the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala an, and the verse of the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ, it is clearly evident that the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, like yours and I, and from the progeny of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, and they constitute 9/10 of mankind, and they are not, and they are no third being as many people seem to believe. And the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, it is very clear, إِنَّ يَعْجُوجُ وَمَعْجُوجُ مِنْ وَلْدِ آدَمْ, that يَعْجُوجُ and مَعْجُوجُ are the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So those people that believe that they are some third being have based their opinion on something that is baseless, on something that cannot be justified. Now that we have learned that they are the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, like yourselves and I,